Hey everyone, I'm Crystal Escobar, and you're listening to the Wanna Be Balanced podcast. This is episode number 126. I'm calling this episode Breaking Free from Cults because I have another experience about a cult-like structure that I was a part of like a year ago, even after leaving the Mormon Church. So I'm going to dive into that a little bit more in just a minute, but I first wanted to start by saying how excited I am right now because I have made a tremendous breakthrough within the past few weeks, and I want to explain how. First of all, I've mentioned in almost every episode over the last five episodes or so about syncing with my cycle, my menstrual cycle, and I've really been trying to focus a lot on that because I can see the power in syncing with your cycle and lining up with or identifying which season you're in. If you imagine all the different seasons, there's four seasons every year. I also think that you can compare the woman's menstrual cycle to the different seasons each year. And so I am of the belief, after doing a lot of reading and research on this topic, and even with my own experience, I'm realizing that we do go through a fall season, a winter, spring, and summer every single month as women. And as I've been reading about it and really researching, I'm realizing how true that is for me. And I know that because there's been so many times in my life where I'll set goals and then after a couple, 2 to 3 weeks, I lose enthusiasm for the goals, and I always made it mean something negative about myself. Like, oh, I just can't stick with things. Why don't I have motivation anymore? I was so excited about it 2 weeks ago, but now I don't want to do it. And now, like I said, with all of this learning about the cycles and the seasons, I'm realizing that, oh my gosh, all this time I thought there was something wrong with me for losing motivation at least once every single month. And I am learning how to optimize the different seasons that I'm going through as a woman. And one of them being optimizing my spring and summer season, which I'm in right now. And I'm actually on my third episode recording in one day. And I've never done bulk podcast recording. I've heard of other podcasters doing that. And I'm always like, oh, but that sounds so overwhelming to come up with all the different topics and record them all in one day. How do you do that? But I realized that when you can embrace your cycle and optimize the different seasons, you can be far more productive and effective. So my spring and summer is where it's at when it comes to producing. And that is what I'm doing. I've already done, like I said, I did two episodes just now. I'm on my third one and I feel fired up. And another thing that has played an important role to me being able to produce more and feel more creative and be more effective with my days is my daily writing. And I talk about, you know, journaling and writing things down a lot, but this is a new approach that I've recently taken. And it's basically I'm using a whole new notebook to do this. I'm not calling it my journal. It's just a notebook that I'm using to get it all out. And what I've realized in the past that's kind of hindered me from doing this before, because even though I know the effectiveness of writing and I do already a lot of writing and journal writing, but there were many times where I'd be like, oh, I need to go write all this stuff down. I need to get all these emotions out and put it down on paper. I'll go do it in my journal. But then I'd go sit down to do it in my journal and all these thoughts would come to my mind like, oh, but what if somebody reads this? Oh, I don't want it to be too negative. I want it to make sense. It needs to be structured. I had all these rules about my writing that I didn't realize that it was hindering me from actually getting things down on paper. So oftentimes I would go to write something and I'd be like, oh, I'm in a really negative space. It would be really great if I could just get all this negativity out of my mind and then just tear up this paper. So sometimes I'll like write in my journal and I'll write all this negative stuff. And the next day I regret that I wrote all of it. And then I'm like, oh crap, it's in my journal. And I can't rip out that page because on the other side of the page is really good stuff that I want to be in there. So that has caused me to hesitate when writing anything negative in my journal. But I've discovered a whole new way of doing things. And it's about giving myself permission to do things a different way. And that's what I think the fall and winter seasons are for, is to really do some introspection and come up with new approaches to things that may no longer be serving you. And so this is my new approach, and it has been serving me like crazy. And I'm so excited to share more of how I'm doing this and why it's been so effective. So I take about 20 to 30 minutes every single day, and I've been very consistent with it. I plan it in my schedule and I make sure that it happens. And I just write. And this is my notebook that, you know, I can even keep hidden because I do not want anybody to ever read this. First of all, there might be a lot of negativity in there that it's just things that I'm trying to process, things that are probably not even real. And so, of course, I wouldn't want anybody to read them because it's just my brain telling me all kinds of ridiculous stories. And I just want to get them out of my brain and onto paper so that I can look at it and see how ridiculous it is. And then the other rule that I've thrown away is that it has to be structured. So I take the 20 to 30 minutes and I just write, and I have a goal to write 2 full pages, and I try to write without even stopping it. Even if I have to stop mid-sentence and go into a different thought, I'm allowing myself to finally do that. I don't know why I haven't done this before, but I'm allowing it to be so outrageous and weird and negative and unstructured and random, because if anyone were to read this, they probably wouldn't be able to make sense of any of it, because sometimes I'll have a thought and I'm going, as opposed to before when I'm writing my journal, I'd be like, oh, okay, now I got to finish up this thought and I got to word it just right so that I can close it out and then word it just right to start up a new topic. But now I'm just letting all that go. I write and I just continue to write whatever comes to my mind. If I'm sick of writing on that topic, I'll switch to a different topic because, you know, the brain is working quickly. There's a lot of different thoughts that are going through the mind at one time. So this has been a really cool exercise that has proven to be extremely effective when trying to not only process negative emotions, also set good intentions. It's like everything all in one. It's my gratitude journal. And the thing that's cool about this is I probably most likely won't use any of the things as far as content creation. I won't use any of the things that I'm writing in here, but it really does help me tap into that source of creativity. So sometimes I will come up with really cool ideas and I'll write a little bit about them, but later I'll go and expand on it. And I've set in my calendar too that I would do 1 hour a week of conscious writing where I'm actually going to create something of value that I feel like I can share with people. And sometimes it'll be stemmed from some of the ideas that came from my daily writing. So I just wanted to share that before I dive into today's topic because of how effective it's been for me. And this is why I've been able to, the two reasons, syncing with my cycle and doing this daily writing has been the reason why I'm now recording my 3rd episode in one day. And I'm feeling very proud and excited about this ability that I've tapped into. I didn't know that I could do this. So it's really exciting. So I wanted to share that with you. Now, to go into this whole cult topic, I made this realization when I first started life coaching last year. About this time is when I started up my life coaching practice. And I was so involved in my life coaching training. And every day I was consuming so much content and trying desperately to learn how to be the best, most effective life coach possible. And so as I was doing my life coaching training, I think what happened to me was I started to become lost in the information and the training. I was losing myself and my own unique way of coaching. And I realized it wasn't until later that I was able to look back and realize what happened here. Because all of a sudden, I started feeling like an imposter. I felt like this is not something that I'm good at. And I felt also like I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my niche was. I didn't know my unique style of coaching. I was just doing what I was taught in this life coaching training. And what I've learned is that that is not an effective way to life coach. You don't coach people because you were trained how to coach. You coach people based on your own life experience. And that's one thing that I could not identify at the time. I was trying so hard to become like these other life coaches that I was learning from and be like, okay, well, if I can just say things the way they do, if I can teach the way they teach, if I can use the same formula that they use, then I will be an effective life coach. But what I didn't realize was that it was taking me further and further away from myself, my own experiences, my own inner knowing and wisdom and creativity, and my own unique ability to be somebody's coach. And that was kind of messing me up. And also, you know, the reason why I've titled this like Breaking Free from Cults is because I realized some similarities as far as the, you know, religion, what I now believe that many religions are cults. And I also don't mean cult to be necessarily negative. It doesn't have to be a negative thing, but cults can be the source of separating yourself from yourself and separating yourself from other people. And this is what I was able to identify later on as I was able to look back on why was I feeling so unsettled as a coach. And I realized because it's how I was approaching my life coaching. Like I said, I was teaching what I had been taught instead of teaching what I know. And what I mean by what I know is teaching what I know from my own life experience. When you can tap into that, teaching what you know so deeply because of your own life experience, that is where you are truly effective. So learning that was a huge aha, but it took me time to identify that was. And I actually am grateful that I honored those feelings and I didn't keep pushing through. I took the time off. I closed up shop, basically. I did my 3 months of life coaching with a group of women and it was amazing and awesome. And I felt like it was a good thing, but there was part of it that didn't feel like it was me. It didn't feel as authentic as I wanted it to be. It didn't turn out to be the reality that I had envisioned as a life coach. I have that deep desire to coach people. I'm very passionate about personal development, and it's starting with myself. I'm trying to become the best version of myself, and I'm grateful now looking back that I did honor those feelings at the time. I closed up shop, and I took time off to evaluate what was going on instead of just pushing through and doing what I was told, doing what I was taught, just following all the steps and pushing through without honoring what was really going on inside of me. So I needed to take a step back so that I can have a greater perspective and I can really investigate what was going on there. And I feel like now I'm finding all this clarity and realizing exactly what went wrong there and exactly why I was having those feelings. It's because it's really my internal guidance system telling me, you're not on the right path, Crystal. You're doing this all wrong. The desire is there, but you're not on the right path. And it's really cool to finally realize why I was not on the right path and now feeling like I'm entering back onto the path. I really just had to take a pause so that I could identify my my own coaching style, and that's kind of what I'm formulating right now, and I'm allowing myself the time to formulate that. But what I realized is that I was being indoctrinated by yet another cult-like structure. And again, I'm not meaning this necessarily in a negative way, but I noticed this fear of not being successful if I didn't use their method. I felt like I was brainwashed into believing that this was the absolute and best and most effective way of life coaching. And that's kind of what the church did to me. The church made me believe that they were the only ones that had all the truth and that they were the way to eternal life and eternal happiness. And I kind of started to identify those same tactics, which, you know, it could also be a form of confidence that they just believe that they have the best solution, the best option. But when I left the Mormon church, I vowed to myself that I would not be a part of anything that says that they are the absolute best, because I don't think that that is any way that we should be looking at our lives. I think it might be better to say that, oh, this is the best way for me, but it's not the only way for everybody. And I want to be in a space of allowing people to be on whatever journey they're on, to follow different beliefs that they want to believe, to follow different diet protocols, to follow different religious beliefs. I just want to live in such a way where I can allow everybody to be on whatever path suits them best. But I never, ever, ever want to say that this is the way. This is the most effective. This is the best way. This is the only way people should be doing things. This is the only way people should be eating. Like, I never want to go into my life with that same dogmatic approach that I had growing up in a religion. And I did start to see these similarities because I recognized the fear that I had inside me. Like, oh, if I don't do it this way, then I won't be successful. If I don't invest more money into this coaching program with this company, then I won't be as successful. And I was plagued by my own fear of failure, and that if I didn't invest more money in this company and if I didn't use their method, then I would not be a successful life coach. And once I identified all this fear in me, that's when I realized, like, oh my gosh, I think I'm being indoctrinated again, that to believe that this is the only way, and I don't want to do that. So it was important that I took time to step back so that I could recognize this. You know, one thing I was starting to observe by watching all of these other life coaches coach, because that's how I was learning how to coach, was by watching them coach and seeing how they did it. I started to see a common theme with all of these life coaches. And the thing was, they sounded exactly like the main life coach who was teaching her method. They had the same laugh. They had the same, they used the same words. They had the same mannerisms. Everything seemed exactly the same. I mean, with a few exceptions, but I was just like, oh my gosh, I just started to realize that that's what a cult can do. A cult can get you to believe that this is the only way and you have to do it my way. You have to follow all of these rules and this structure and this outline in order for you to be successful in life. And when I saw the similarities in voice, laugh, words, mannerisms, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, these are a bunch of minions. She's created a bunch of minions. And I didn't want to be like that. I didn't want to lose myself in this program. I really do genuinely believe that everything that I learned from that program was authentic and exceptional information. I learned so much and I loved a lot. I loved most of it. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the things that I learned. It's just that I didn't want to lose myself in the process. I wanted to find my own unique approach of coaching people and not feel bound to the same structure, not feel limited by the belief that if I didn't use it, then I wouldn't be able to help people. So taking the step back was really, really important for me to make these correlations and find clarity around what really was happening with me during that time. So now as I've been able to take a step back and as I've been pondering ways I want to coach, I'm realizing that the way I want to coach is just basically getting clear on what I need from a coach. And what I need from a coach is someone to listen to me, someone to help me ask myself the right questions and offer me directions and guidance, not answers to my questions, but just guidance. And that's why I want to call myself a growth guide and not a life coach, because I'm trying to redefine what that means for me. And the way for me to redefine how I want to coach people in my own unique way, I just really have to get clear on what I personally need from a life coach, how being coached by a life coach has benefited me, and what is it that has been the most effective. And so when I take in all of my own experiences and I let go of all the things that I've been taught, and not let it go as in it's like out of my mind completely, but I let it go so that I can start with a blank canvas, and then I can take bits and pieces of all of the different things that I've learned throughout my life experience and through all the different resources, because I have spent years trying to learn how to become a better version of myself, trying to understand human behavior, trying to understand my own behavior, my own emotions, my own triggers. And as I've been able to do that, I've been able to reverse engineer that and see what it was specifically that really helped me make progress in my own personal development. And that's kind of what I want to bring to the table with my own life coaching, which, like I said, I want to call myself a personal growth guide. I want to help people grow spiritually, emotionally, mentally, bring it all into balance. And I want to use my own unique way of coaching and life experience to do so. So that explains my whole life coaching endeavor and what happened last year and where I'm at now and what my intentions are starting in January. Because like I said, I'm giving myself time to enjoy my kittens, time to enjoy the holidays, but at the same time, prepping myself for the kind of coaching that I want to do in order to help people grow.
Thanks for listening to the Wannabe Balanced podcast. Get access to free resources available at wannabebalanced.com. If you love the show, then leave a review or share it with a friend. Until next week.